What we're trying to do as a church is to get each other into these discipleship relationships where the Word of God is open between us. And I don't necessarily mean always that the Word of God, if you're at breakfast, has to be literally on the table open between you. But the idea is that the Word of God is what leads us. It's what directs us. It's what inspires and encourages us. It's what moves us towards the right, well, relationships and the right decisions. And so we're trying to do that together. That's what I love about Grace Community. And for 60 years, that's really what we've been doing as a church. You know, when Jesus was just about to ascend into heaven, after he had died on the cross and risen again, he made this comment to his disciples. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when Grace Community started in November of 1964, a small number of families came together, and they may not have put it in these words exactly, but their passion was to be a group of people who were disciples who were going to make disciples. And what that meant to them was that they were going to help people come to this place where they were more deeply and passionately engaged in the worship of God, not just on a Sunday morning experience, but giving their hearts to obedience, or giving their hearts in obedience to God more and more every moment, the act of worship. And they were going to do that together, encouraging one another, equipping one another, inspiring one another, holding each other accountable, caring for one another, walking with one another, because they believed that the community of the believers was vital for the life of a person. And finally, they were absolutely 100% convinced that this message of Jesus Christ, the mission of the gospel, that Jesus came to save us from our sin and deliver us into forgiveness and also eternal life, but also to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. And that passion is what we have kept and we will continue to keep, even as we start a new chapter today at Grace Community Church. Today, we have the privilege of getting an opportunity to find out a little bit more about who we are, what we are, and who we're going to be. And as I look at where we are as a congregation, I am just blown away. Because I spoke with one of the women who were part of that group that first night. Marlene, she's near 90 this morning at the 8 o'clock service. And I looked right at her when I was talking and I said, did you as a church, as a people sitting there, you and those other families ever think to yourself that it would be like it is right now? 60 years later, 5 campuses, our newest in out near Van, which is what Chris was talking about, we call it Dover, making an impact in that community where it's continuing to grow. And Grace Espanol, which is meeting right now, our most cross-cultural worship experience at Grace Community. 13 South American and Latin American nations are represented down there this morning. Beautiful what God's doing. This week at our school, here and our University Boulevard campus and up in Lindale, we'll have 1,500 kids from 6 months old to 18 years old. And every one of those kids is getting an opportunity to be a disciple and make a disciple as much as you can be a disciple as a 6-month-old, right? And I am so grateful that God has given us that chance. And as we turn this story to the next chapter, we want to continue to do that. I think it's important, as John and I talked about it just a few months ago from this stage, and many of you may or may not have been here that day, but just to remind you that today begins a new day for Grace Community in a lot of different ways for Old Jacksonville. Because while I'll still be the senior pastor of Grace Community, and I'll still be part of the preaching rotation at Old Jacksonville, and Vicki and I will still make this our home campus, we have invited Brandon Hiltebeitel and his wife Scarlett Hiltebeitel and their four kids, the Hiltebeitel children. And the reason I say Hiltebeitel so many times is because I promised them that you guys would get it. Okay? We are a good phonetic understanding group, right? We got it. H-I-L-T-I-B-I-D-A-L. Hiltebeitel. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to follow after me, but that's what we're going to do. And what Vicki and I would love for you to do this morning is to get to know Brandon and Scarlett. And so if you all will join me, let's spend some time getting to know the Hiltebeitels. Great.
Okay. Good morning. We are so excited to get to, it feels like getting to introduce some great friends to other great friends. And so we're excited to do this today. Doug and I have so enjoyed getting to know Brandon and Scarlett and their whole family over the last 6 months or so. And you're going to love them. They are authentic and lovers of Jesus, and it comes through in every way. And so it's our privilege. And now we want to introduce them to you because they don't know how great you are either. We're going to give every one of you a chance to introduce yourself. No, just kidding. But Brandon, start us off and tell us how the Hiltebeitel family came to be. How did you guys first meet? And Scarlett, you can chime in too and tell your version at the same time if you want, if he needs to be remembered of anything. And what was it that drew you to each other?
Yeah. Man, it's such a joy to get to meet you guys. It's also a joy to talk about my wife. We met like a lot of ministry couples at church. In Miami, Florida, and I was serving at a church with her former student pastor, so she heard about that church, she came to visit, and her little sister came with her and told her immediately that she was going to marry me, and she basically immediately married me. I found her to be, man, I like talking about her, I found her to be just the funnest and most unique. Immediately, it's still true. I remember my memory of our first conversation is after a church service. She said we talked before this, but my first memory of our of conversation after a church service, there was like a playground near the church building, and she asked me, "You want to race me to the swing set?" And we were young adults, and she went with, "You want to race me to the swing set?" And maybe she won, I don't know, but we've debated a lot who asked out who first. She definitely asked me to hang out first. She says I labeled it a date first. Doesn't matter, we were married within the year. Marrying her was just the best non-salvation decision that I've ever made. I love talking about it. It's been for me, being married to her has been a thrill. Sometimes it's been good for her as well. And I'm supposed to say that, but it's also true. Man, she's unbelievable. The word I use to describe her the most is to answer kind of what drew me to her. She's indefatigable is the word.
She got another word that you need to spell for us.
I-N-D-E-F-A-T-I-G-A-B-L-E. Close enough. Indefatigable means you cannot keep her down. She was incandescently joyful when I met her 17 years ago, 18 years ago, and now she still is. And what would you add?
Wow. Well, I will add, that's so sweet. What drew me to him was that he was kind of the jack of all trades, worship pastor, youth pastor at this church plant. And my first visit, he was about to lead a worship song, and he had tears coming down his face as he talked about Jesus and prayed. And I just thought, that seems like a great guy. And he wrote a Shakespearean sonnet to try to get the youth group kids to come to a camp. And I was an English major, so
we were children at the time. That's what we did.
But I will push back on that. I asked you to hang out first. I have a better memory. He definitely asked me to hang out first and called it a date first.
I really don't know. Well, the Lord will tell us.
What everybody wants to know is, did you let him win the race to the swing set?
We don't remember. We don't remember. I don't think I would have let him win. I think I would have tried my hardest, but
lost. This is a tidbit the other services haven't gotten. But we were swinging in the swings that day, and she said something. No, We're doing it now. She said that when they were when she was kids, if the swings were lining up, that meant you were going to get married, and we were a little bit like this right there. And I said, what does that mean for us? She said, we're getting there.
We had just met.
Woo! Yeah.
Well, I guess y'all know that now.
Yeah, that's good. And it worked out.
Yeah.
Because you now have 4 kids. Why don't you tell us about them, please?
Okay. 4 kids. There's a picture. Ever's the oldest. She's starting high school this year. She loves musical theater. She's just the best. And then we have Dewey, the one holding the puppy. And her real name is Brooklyn, but her sister renamed her Dewey, so she goes by Dewey. And she loves babies and animals. And after Dewey, we adopted Joy from China. So she's 2 years older than Dewey is, but she came to our family next. And she's just a miraculous, delightful, funny, wonderful girl who was born with no ears. And it's a whole story, but God led us to her, and she's just been the greatest gift to our family. And then her best friend is James, the little baby, and he is the only boy. I used to say, I don't know what I would do with a boy, but Dewey said, can we have a baby in the family? And I said, I think our family's complete. And then she said, Mommy, I prayed. And here he is. He's 9 months old. He's a wild alligator that my wonderful in-laws are wrestling somewhere in this building right now.
That's awesome. Brandon, so we're sitting here in Tyler, Texas in August of 2025. How'd you get here?
I think, I'll say this first. We really believe the Lord led us here. And in that sense, he started leading us when I was 17. I knew I wanted to serve Jesus when I was 17. I remember the moment that I was called to ministry. And so I went to Bible college to pursue that. And I've had just the most uniquely blessed ministry experience to this point. Our first year of marriage, I joined staff at a church in Miami, Florida that was about the same size as Grace is. And that church was led by a pastor named Eric Geiger, who is fairly famous in the church world for developing leaders. And when I was a child, he took me under his wing. By the time I was 26, he made me a campus pastor and a teaching pastor, and he put me on the executive team of this church. But at 26, it just meant make jokes and learn and preach. Like, that was the job. And what a beautiful ministry we got to be a part of that church as it grew from 3,000 people to 9,000 people, people getting saved all over South Florida. It was wonderful. Then he went to go be the vice president. I'm trying to be brisk. He went to be the vice president of a company called Lifeway Christian Resources in Nashville. It's the largest church resource provider in the country. He invited me to come be a part of that. I led adult Bible study publishing and adult church resources there. So if you've used stuff from Lifeway, I got to be a part of the team that make those things for years. The whole time I was at Lifeway, I said the only reason I could do that work is because I was also getting to pastor as a volunteer at this wonderful church in Nashville. I was a teaching pastor there. I was a lay elder there. I was chairman of the elder board there. So we have those same functions here. I've actually been on both sides. I've been on the full-time staff side, and I've been on the guys trying to help the full-time staff side. So when I see the faces that the volunteer pastors make about maybe the full-time staff doesn't know what they're doing, if that ever happens, I might recognize them because it's possible I've made those faces myself before. I'm really excited to work with those guys. But I got to see, again, that church, just the Lord did such amazing things to that church. That church was 300 when our family got there, and that was a church of 3,000 by the time Eric went to, there's a theme here. Eric now pastors one of the largest churches in the world, and he invited me again to be on the executive team there and to preach there and to help plant and lead churches there. And so all that to say, I've worked for the same pastor for 17 years until this week, really today, and now I work for you guys. And I'm so excited to be here. I'm hoping that my ministry and leadership experience will be helpful to this church, but I'm really excited to learn from the people that are already at this church. I'm excited to learn from Doug. He knows that. I love John to death already. I'm excited to learn from Stephen and Kirk, and there's Scott, and all on down the line. But I'm excited to learn from you guys. I've got church experience. I have less Grace church experience than everybody in this room. So I can't wait to learn from you. I cannot wait to pray for you and learn how to pray for you. I cannot wait to help shepherd you. And so we're asking that the Lord will let us have 25 plus years of ministry here at this church. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are incredibly thrilled that you're here, and we know that you bring so much great experience, and Scarlett, you bring a wealth of giftedness as well. And not only are you wife to Brandon and mom to all four of your lovely kids and little Daisy, the puppy. Ultimately, it's a mom's responsibility. You know, the puppy did. But you're an author and a speaker. And Scarlett has written several books and Bible studies. And she, I love it, is not afraid to go to hard places. You speak and write on very powerful emotions like shame and fear, anxiety. One of her books is entitled, I'm the Worst Person in the World. Like, who can't relate to that, right? We've all felt that at some times, but you're not afraid to go there. Tell us about what makes you passionate about those types of emotions and thoughts.
I've just always written about what I'm struggling with, so I guess I struggle with really intense things. I've always loved writing since third grade, and so I'm really grateful I get to write books and Bible studies, and the speaking thing came later, but I have Lifeway Women. Sorry, this is the third service. My words are not coming out as simply. But I've written the most about anxiety, and so usually when I travel to churches to do women's events, I'll speak on the anxious Bible study or afraid of all the things. And I'm just really grateful because the Lord has taught me how to rest in the gospel for everyday life for today, rather than just thinking, okay, someday life's going to get easier and be better when Jesus makes everything new. I used to live like that, kind of white-knuckling it through life, and he has taught me to rest in the gospel. And so that's what I write about my life and the gospel in life, and I'm really grateful because it allows me to be with the kids wrestling the alligator most of the time.
And I love that you take all of those powerful things and you point women to the Word of God, to the gospel, which really helps address them in the most powerful way that we can address things like that.
That is my goal. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. She all gospel right here. This is great. It's all really beautiful. Both of you are. You have a new book coming out in October called Hopeful-ish. Not just hopeful. Kind of, sort of. Maybe not really. But tell us about that title and what that means.
Okay. Well, the subtitle is, so it's Hopeful-ish, Sadness, Weariness, Donkey Attacks, More Sadness, and Other Stuff You Need the Gospel For. So that kind of sums it up. It's that.
That's awesome.
Well, we can't wait to read it and hear it. And also, if you have a teen who struggles, this is not an advertisement, but it's just really good resources. If you have a teen who struggles with anxiety, you have a teen version of that Bible study as well, right?
Anxious and Ashamed have teen versions and women's versions.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you for your ministry behind the scenes. That's really impacting women all over. We're excited to see how it impacts our women right here. So, and inquiring minds want to know, Brandon, a self-proclaimed sports enthusiast, y'all have done so good at tolerating our passion for the Buckeyes, Ohio State, in case you don't know that that's who the Buckeyes are, and the Cleveland Browns, and the Cavs, and LeBron from Akron, our hometown. Yes, we're important. But these people want to know, on a Saturday morning, 2 weeks from today, or Saturday afternoon, evening, whenever it is, college football is about to start. They all want to know, are we going to hear, coming out from your living room, gig 'em or hook 'em?
Negotiable. I've gotten a lot of A&M support. I don't know if the Texas fans are just more confident in their victories. I don't know. I don't know enough about this yet. But I've gotten a lot of A&M support. This could still go either way. And then TCU, I did not know was a thing, but I've also gotten a vote for TCU.
Oh, we better say, for all you tech people, Rec'em is a thing too, right? I hope we covered all our bases. Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Whatever we all do. Wow, great. Thank you, guys. We're going to spend a little bit of time and now get formal. Should we do that? Because we're a very formal church. But I'd like to ask Brandon and Scarlett to stand with us, and I want to give a tad bit of a charge because I think it's important that we as a congregation not only invite them in, but that Brandon responds in terms of who he is and
who he wants to be as a leader of this church. In 1 Peter 5, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in that glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And with the chief, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And then from 2 Timothy 4, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." And so, Brandon, these questions that I ask are really revolving around three things: your love, your abiding in Christ, and your pastoring. And so, Brandon, will you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Will you love Scarlett as Christ loves the church? Will you love your children as God loves you? And will you love the church, these people, and will you love those far from God?
I will.
Thank you. Will you abide with Christ, being devoted personally to the word, guarding your heart, walking and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit?
I will.
And will you, as the pastor, pray, shepherd the flock, preach the word, lead the church, and seek the lost?
I will.
Thank you. I'd love for the elders who are in the room and their wives, if you would, to join me and us up front, and we're gonna pray for Brandon and Scarlett. And if a few of you would pray, that would be great. And I'll close us in just a little bit.
Father, we are truly grateful for a brother and sister in Christ, Lord, that we stand together with. And God, we know that before being a pastor, Lord, that Brandon stands, because of the gospel, stands as a redeemed son of yours. We praise you for that, Lord. That's his true identity. God, thank you for a faithful brother who has poured his life out in ministry. Lord, has sought to serve, who has sought to love and to shepherd and to proclaim truth. God, thank you for bringing him here, Lord, he and Scarlett, their family. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd use this family to proclaim the gospel. Lord, to serve this community well, to love this church well, and ultimately, for the fame, renown, and the glory of you, Jesus. Use this family, Lord, for something far bigger than themselves, for you, what you're doing in the hearts and lives of people.
Dearest Father, we just are grateful for the love that you have shown this community of believers, Lord, and just the blessing that you have provided us in the 60 years prior, and we look forward to how you'll be working in the future with Brandon and Scarlett as their family joins and is woven into ours as well. Lord, we just are thankful for the love that you have shown us and are very excited and in anticipation of just being able to see that love played out through the lives of this family as they come in. But we ask, Lord, that you would walk before us, that you would guide the steps and the words of Brandon as he comes to work with our church and our church family, Lord, that we, with open arms, accept all the pieces of that, the joyful pieces, the rough pieces, and all those parts. But again, Lord, we're just grateful for that blessing and that love that you've shown us.
Lord, we rejoice just in the good thing that you are doing, and the good thing that you have done. God, we are grateful, and we just thank you for answered prayers. We have prayed over this family and for this family for a long time, and Lord, you have answered in such an incredible way. God, I pray blessing over Brandon. I pray blessing over Scarlett. We pray blessing over Ever, over Dewey, over Joy, and over James. As they make such a huge transition, Lord, would you go before them? would you give them confidence in who you are? That you have made a way. That is so obvious. That you have made a way and you have ordered their steps. God, we pray for sweet friendships for their kids as they go to a new school and start a new thing. God, would you give them courage? God, we pray for their teachers. We pray for the people around them that they would love them so well. But more than anything, Lord, we pray that the kids would know you in a deeper way, that they would grow in their confidence of who you are. God, we pray for Brandon as he leads this team and leads this church and leads a new staff. Lord, would his confidence be in you, not in his own ability or in his past accomplishment or his past success, but because you have called him and you have chosen him. He is the right man for the job, not because of what he's done, but because who you are. Hmm. Lord, we love you, and God, we trust you, and we rejoice in the good thing that you are doing.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your provision for our church for 60 years and more now. God, I pray that you would empower Brandon as he leads, empower Scarlett as she stands with him. We ask that you would help us as the body to encourage them and to support them and to love them. Lord, we commit to you that as he's committed to us, that that we will do that well. I thank you, God, for what you have for us in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You've been so great. Thank you. Oh, that's right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Grace Community Church. It is an unbelievable joy to be here, to be becoming one of your pastors. I am not about to preach a whole message. Do not worry. I am aware of what time it is, but there's been a lot of Hiltabital talk, and so I get to take a few moments here at the end and just point us to Jesus for a little bit. And to do that, I want you to know that this week, I read those commitments that I just committed to our church, and I thought of the cartoon Bluey. Raise your hand if you've seen the cartoon Bluey. Ubiquitous Bluey, one of the greats. Been so much Bluey in my house for several years, and for a while now, my daughters have like assured themselves of my love for them using quotes from Bluey that they have since expanded on. It happens all the time in my house. It happened literally driving down the road in our van yesterday. It happened last night at our new home. They didn't even know I was telling you about this. It's just part of life. So one of my daughters will say, maybe some of you have heard this before, "Daddy, how much do you love me?" And I say, "As fast as a greyhound." Whatever that means, I'm not a writer for the cartoon Bluey, but I was given my line. And we rehearsed it, I got it wrong for a while. I say, "As fast as a greyhound." Then my daughter says, "How much are you gonna love me?" And again, I say, "As fast as a greyhound." And so we'd been doing this for a while, and then my daughters, it occurred to them that a greyhound might not be the fastest animal on the earth, and so they researched and they found out that the earth's fastest animal is the falcon. So now one of my daughters says, "Daddy, how much do you love me?" And I say, "Faster than a falcon." "How much are you gonna love me?" "Faster than a falcon." And then my third daughter took it up even another notch when she says, "Daddy, how much do you love me?" I'm supposed to say, "Faster than infinity." "How much are you gonna love me?" "Faster than infinity." And I thought about that this week because how I feel when I promise my girls that I will love them faster than a greyhound and faster than a falcon and faster than infinity is a little bit what I felt like when I read these commitments that I made to you just now. How in the world? That's so big. How can anyone do all these things all the way, all the time? And the answer is they can't. My daughters want to know in this world that their daddy will love them to infinity, but they can't actually know that for sure. They can't. The best anybody can offer anyone in this world is the best intentioned maybe or sometimes. Doug and I have been getting to know each other for 6 to 7 months now. And I can promise you, Doug is godlier than me. But even Doug, the best he has to offer is sometimes. And I don't want to hurt your feelings here on day one, but the best you have to offer is sometimes. Sometimes. And I just want us to remember today that in this life, there's only one always. And Jesus is the only sure thing. Jesus has committed to the same things that I just committed to. But here's the question. How do we know that he will really do them? Such an important question. How do we know that Jesus' commitment is better than mine or yours in the first place? I'm going to read you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I asked the Lord what I was supposed to say to you the first time I had a microphone. It's this verse, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So how do we know that when Jesus says he'll love us, he'll actually do it? How do we know when Jesus says he'll lead us, he's gonna follow through? How do we know that when he says he's gonna pray for us, when he says he's gonna reach the lost, that he'll actually make good on his word? And the answer is that unlike me or Doug or you or anywhere else, Jesus has already proven the measure of his commitment. And where did he prove it? You know the answer. That's right. By the way, Doug is graciously going to share some of the preaching with me. That will be the answer to a lot of questions. At the cross, God the Father already gave for us the infinitely valuable life of the Son of God in Jesus Christ, which means Jesus has already loved you faster than infinity, faster than a falcon. So I asked you if you knew about the cartoon Bluey, lots of hands. How many of you have heard about an a fortiori argument? That may be the first today. We have an a fortiori argument, less ubiquitous. So I learned this phrase from John Piper, who taught that the cross is the ultimate example of an a fortiori argument. Turn on your brains for just a half a second. This is Latin for an argument from a stronger reason. It's a type of debate that says that a greater proposition can imply the certainty of a secondary proposition. You got it? Greater proposition implies the certainty of a secondary proposition. That's a fortiori. And the example that Piper gave is of sending a child to borrow pliers from the neighbor. And maybe the child is nervous to go, I don't want to go borrow the pliers from the neighbor because what if the neighbor doesn't want to give me the pliers? And daddy says, of course he wants to give you the pliers because he told us we could borrow his truck and remember, or he told us we could borrow his tools. Remember just yesterday, he let us borrow his truck for the whole day and the truck is more valuable than the pliers and the truck is actually what contains the tools, including the pliers. So you know that when he said he would let us borrow the tools, that he meant it because we've already borrowed the greater value truck that the tools are in. Got it? That's a fortiori. If your neighbor says you can borrow the tools, and then he leaves you the truck, you know he'll give you the pliers. And in Romans 8, Paul reminds us of the cross and of our confidence in an already given gift. It's already happened at the cross. That's a fortiori. If God has given you Jesus, he'll give you the pliers. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not love you faster than a greyhound and faster than infinity? God gave the most valuable riches there are in history when he gave Jesus Christ in our place, so we can be confident that when he says he will lead and love and reach and shepherd, that he'll actually do it. So we are sometimes sort of people. Jesus is the only always. So as I come to help Pastor Grace, I come with a lot of hopes, but there's only one sure thing. I'm full of hopes for our church. I hope we eat Chipotle together. I hope we play pickleball together. I hope we learn to pray for each other. I hope we don't get deeply disappointed by Cooper Flagg together. I'm supposed to hope something about roses. I don't know. Guys, I hope we see people meet Jesus together. It's the best. I hope we see supernatural life change together. I hope someday that my baby son marries one of your baby daughters. We're taking applications. Right now, he's a difficult hang, so you may want to wait and see. I hope many years from now that I'm at some of your funerals, seeing you safely home to Jesus. And I hope some of you are at my funeral to see me safely home to Jesus. So I will do my best to shepherd you, and my best, the very best, will be sometimes, but I can point you to Jesus. So that's my greatest hope in all the things that we'll do together, that we always point each other to the only sure thing, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what we'll do. In the meantime, I want you to know that somehow I already love you faster than a greyhound. I'm super thankful to get to pray for you now and to minister to you in the coming weeks, months, years, whatever the Lord see fit. God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you are the best thing that's ever happened to us. I love to say it. And God, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know the truth of that, that you would draw on their hearts to see how much they need you, to draw on their hearts to help them know that there is no other love, there is no other hope that they can hang any hat on. Everything else is maybe and sometimes and definitely not when compared to you. So God, I pray that you would, God, I pray that you would save anyone who needs you in the coming moments and days and weeks. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, that we would be immensely convinced of your love for us, that we would deeply understand the past tense nature of your work. We are absolutely waiting for glorious hope and future and with you forever. But the work that's going to make it possible has already happened. And I pray that our confidence in you and that our affection for you would raise a little more every day as we more deeply understand what you've done for us, what it means. God, please make us loving people, make us joyful people, make us hopeful people, make us missional people, make us like Jesus. That is the best thing that we could become. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Help us to enjoy it together in the name of Christ.
Amen. Brandon, if you join your family, and if you wouldn't mind, y'all stand up. We're going to sing a song that's super important to us as a church over them. And I'd love for you guys to maybe even stand in the middle right there. And as many as you can, as many of us in this room that can, come down, get close, put an arm on them. The rest of us just kind of come into the middle. Maybe you won't all get there, but we're going to do this as a family. And we're going to sing over them this great prayer.
Be gracious to you. The Lord turn. His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you.
Together. We're going to, if you don't mind, we'll kind of like part the waters for just a minute. We're going to let the Hiltabytals make their way towards the back. And we're going to celebrate them and say hello to them. And so grateful. Thank you so much. And for those of you who are in front, you now know where the woofers are. The subwoofers are, they're like right here, right? But thank you so much. And don't forget to say hello to Brandon and Scarlett and the girls and to baby James. Have a great rest of your Sunday.